As I was thinking about the Eucharist and trying to think of what to say to all of you, I came up with a big blank when we're saying, He's God, and so is Stuart. It's God, the Eucharist, it's truly God, it's His true presence, body, blood, soul, and divinity. What else can I say to you, my dear friends? It's a great mystery, the Eucharist. St. John Vianney has better words than I do. He said the Eucharist, or actually he says the priesthood is the love of the heart of Jesus. And I think it's Pope John Paul II that says the Eucharist is the heart of the Church. Both of them come from the heart of God. We need the Eucharist. It's the very center of the Church. If you can take out the Eucharist, my dear friends, from the Church, our faith is like any other. It's special, my dear friends. Our whole faith is built up on the Eucharist. It's the very center, the very heart of our Church. And it's something that we need to think about and think about often, because the Eucharist should be something that's on our mind every day. Every day, not just Sundays. Of course, not everybody can go to Mass daily, but it's something that we should be very conscious of. If God is truly present in this little piece of bread that the priest is going to consecrate, and He's there for me, for love of me, I need Him. I need Him. St. John Vianney also said that every consecrated host was made to burn itself up with love in the human heart. I don't think we understand sometimes, or Catholics don't understand sometimes, how much love we can actually receive when we receive the Eucharist. All of us want to be loved. I don't think there's anybody here. If I was asking you to raise your hand, if anybody doesn't want to be loved, I don't think anybody would raise their hands. Everybody wants to be loved. We're made for love, and God is love. We're made for God, and that union that we're going to have with God in heaven starts here and now, and it starts by uniting ourselves with Him in the Eucharist. The Eucharist. Ask yourselves during these next couple of days, what is my faith like in the Eucharist? Do I truly believe that that piece of bread is changed into God, the body, true body, blood, soul, and divinity of God? If you say yes, I do believe it's Him. I believe it's Jesus. With all my heart, I have the faith to say, I believe that is Jesus. Next question. Do you love Him? Do you love Him? How much do you love Him? Because if you believe that He's there, and you really love Him, you're going to want to be with Him. You're going to want to unite your hearts and your soul with Him. You're going to want to be in His presence. And this is something you have to ask. You have to ask yourself this question. Because, my dear friends, if God is here, and you're kind of like, well, I can take it or I can leave it, that's not good. Because, my dear friends, you have been baptized into the true faith. We have what no other faith has, alright? We have the real presence of the Lord. And if you have the opportunity, if God is giving you the opportunity, my dear friends, to go, to receive Him, to unite yourself with Him, it's a grace, it's a gift that is so big for us to say no, it would be like a big slap in the face to God not to be able to want to receive Him. Say, I got better things to do. Think about it. If we were to die and go before God on Judgment Day, and God says, okay, I gave you all this free time, you had time to receive Me in the Eucharist, what did you choose over Me? I preferred to play a game of soccer. I preferred to sit home and watch TV. I preferred maybe to work, make some more money. I preferred to go out sinning. I prefer this, that, and the other thing. How are you going to stand before God when you're going to see how beautiful God is, and you're going to see the effects of the Eucharist in your soul? Mamma mia, that's something we ought to think about. What happens when we receive Jesus in our hearts? My dear friends, you know, I don't think we understand the beauty of our souls. We don't understand the beauty of our souls and what grace, sanctifying grace, does in it. What God's life does in our souls. St. Catherine of Siena, I know I say this a lot, but it's a good one. I personally like it and I think about it a lot. St. Catherine of Siena once asked Jesus, when she was having all these mystical experiences, and she already saw the beauty of Jesus, you know, she said, Jesus, let me see, what does a soul in the state of grace look like? So Jesus said, okay, this is what it looks like. So He showed her a soul in the state of grace. And she was so awed by the beauty of that soul. She said, Lord, if I didn't know You already, I would have thought that this soul was God. That's how beautiful it was. You want to become beautiful, ladies and gentlemen. You want to found the fountain of youth? There it is. We're not there yet, but it will be there, right? It's Jesus. You want to stay young at heart forever? Receive the Lord in the Eucharist. He will keep you young. My dear friend, from here I'm going to jump to the priesthood. The priesthood. Without us, my dear friends, there is no sacramental Jesus. Ooh, that makes us super important, doesn't it? Without us, there is no sacramental Jesus for you. How important it is. I'm going to show you. I'm going to read. These are not my words. These are the words, saintly words of St. John Vianney. Look what he's describing a priest here. He says, "Oh, how great is the priest. If I realized what he is, if he realized what he is, he would die. God obeys him. He utters a few words, and the Lord descends from heaven at his voice to be contained within a small host. Without the sacrament of holy orders, we would not have the Lord. Who put him there in the tabernacle? The priest. Who welcomed your soul at the beginning of your life? In baptism? The priest." Speaking about baptism, there's this wonderful phrase that I like in the baptism when the priest, he traces a little sign of the cross on the baby, and he says, "I claim you for Christ." That's so beautiful. That's so beautiful. Isn't it? "I claim you for Christ." That's what the priest does. He claims you for Christ. "Who feeds your souls and gives it strength for its journey? The priest. Who will prepare it to appear before God, bathing it one last time in the blood of Jesus Christ, the sacrament of the sick? The priest." And I had a very nice experience with this. My friend Louis, who just recently passed away, I got the grace to be able to go to his room where he was in the hospital, and I celebrated Mass there at the foot of his bed. And, you know, the nurse is there. He had a tube in his mouth. He was kind of like semi-conscious. You know, he kind of knew we were there, but he was on his way out. He wasn't doing very well. So I wanted to give him Holy Communion. Now, I know the lady, the nurses were there. They were watching me like a hawk. Their office was right outside. There was a big window in his room, and they were all standing right outside. They were kind of watching what I was doing. So we made this little plan. It was me and a couple other guys. Christian was there, and this big man was there. Big John was there. So he said, "When it's about time for me to give him Holy Communion, what I'm going to do is I'm just going to dip my finger in the precious blood, and I'm going to put it on his tongue." Now, as soon as Holy Communion came, it was great. Nobody bothered us. All of a sudden, right when Holy Communion comes in, the nurse walks in. Oh, man, what's going on here? So anyway, I'm waiting. I didn't know what to do. So I said, okay, I just gave everybody communion that was in the room. After that, I was there. I was just kind of like, you know, purifying the paten really slow, hoping that she would leave the room. But she didn't leave the room yet. So what did I do? I was looking. The paten was clean. She was just messing around. So I just put my finger into the precious blood, and I put a drop on the paten. So I said, if she doesn't leave, okay, I'll leave the priest a little drop of the precious blood there. So anyway, I started to drink, I consumed the chalice. Next thing you know, I started to purify the chalice. And she's still there. She's still watching. She's still there. Finally, when I purified the chalice, and I was getting it, folding all the corporals and all the purificators, putting it all together, finally she left. And right when she left, that's when I took the paten, had a little drop of the precious blood, and I put it right on Louis' tongue. And as soon as I put it on his tongue, all you can see him go, I don't know what was going on, but I think he knew it was Jesus. And it was like two, three days later, he passed away. That's what the priest does, my dear friend. That is what the priest does. And he goes to say, the priest, always the priest. And if this soul should happen to die as a result of sin, mortal sin, who will raise it up? Who will restore it to its calm and peace? Again, the priest. After God, the priest is everything. Only in heaven will he fully realize what he is. You know, when I read this, you know, it humbles me, because I'll be honest with you, you know, I mean, the priesthood is something. I'm only a priest almost 3 years now, and I tell you, the priesthood, way over my head. I mean, I know in my head, I consecrate a piece of bread and wine into the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ. I know I can forgive sins, but I think that knowledge is so minimal compared to what really is going on. And just like St. John Vianney says, only when we get in heaven, we're really going to know the beauty of the priesthood. Now, here's my pitch for all you guys out there. Now, just in case the Lord is going to stir anyone out there to the priesthood, I want to say something to you. Do not be afraid. If God is calling you, my dear friends, if you feel in your hearts that the Lord is calling you to the priesthood, do not be afraid. I made a huge mistake, and I'm going to share that mistake with you guys. I ran from the Lord. I ran for about, I think about 15 years maybe, no, 10 years, about 10 years I ran from the Lord. Ever since I was a young guy, I felt like the Lord was calling me to the priesthood, but I didn't want to go, because I knew better than God. I thought that the world was going to offer me everything I wanted. Oh, God can't really satisfy me. God can't make me happy. The world is going to make me happy. Me doing my own thing is going to make me happy. Wrong. God says, okay, Henry, you know more than me. I'll show you how much you know. Go ahead. Go out there. Do whatever you like. I did whatever I liked. And let me tell you, it led me to a life of misery. Sin and misery. And now, when I look back at my life, I look at all those years. I'm only a priest here 3 years now, almost 3 years. I could have been a priest. I could have been. Listen to those words. I could have been a priest for almost, what, 15 years. 15 years. How many Holy Communions I could have given out in 15 years. How many souls I could have pardoned in 15 years. How many baptisms or weddings or whatever other sacraments there are, the sacrament of the sick. How many things I could have done for souls that would have given me merit for all eternity. I could have had under my belt sin, sin, and more sin. Sin that only makes me ashamed of myself. Guys, if you're out there, what I'm telling you applies to you guys too. God loves you. Period. That's the foundation of our whole Christian life. You are loved by God. God wants you to love Him. How do you prove your love for God? Do whatever He tells you. Follow Him. Follow Him. That's simply. Simply put, follow God. Wherever He shows you, follow Him. And that's where you're going to find your happiness. That's when you're going to find your peace. Pope John Paul II, saintly priest, alright, lived a hard life, alright, good life, saintly life, now he's going to be a saint, alright, this is what he said, this is for the young people, alright, it is Jesus, in fact, that you seek when you dream of happiness. He is waiting for you when nothing else you find satisfies you. He is the beauty to which you are so attracted. It is He who provokes you with that thirst for fullness that will not let you settle for compromise. It is He who urges you to shed the mask of a false life. Say that one again. It is He who urges you to shed the mask of a false life. Are you living a false life, my dear friends? If you are, get out of it. Stop, make a U-turn and say, Lord, I've been living this phony baloney life for a long time, and I'm tired of it. Now I want to start to live a real life, an authentic life, a life with you and in you. And I want to bring you to others. It is He who reads in your hearts the most genuine choices, the choices that others try to stifle. How many people try to stifle your vocation? Why do you want to be a priest? I mean, you got to live in chastity. There's tons of girls out there. Go get them. Tons of girls out there. Go get them. That's what they have to do. What are these people? When all these people that tell you to go get those girls out there, look at their lives. Look at their lives in about 5 years, and you're going to see what a disaster it is. A disaster. Because first of all, these people don't even know what love is. Right? If you want to become a priest, or if you're called to become a father of a family, you need to love. And you need to be holy, my dear friend. If you're not holy, you'll never be a good priest. And if you're not holy, you'll never be a good father. Holiness is the first thing that each and every one of you have to strive for. And it's the Eucharist that will give you that holiness. It's the Eucharist that's going to transform your hearts into love. That's why we need the Eucharist, my dear friends. It is the Eucharist that will transform our hearts into love. And then we'll know how to love. Because when we're united to Jesus, who is love, He will teach us how to love. He will show us how to love. He will show us how to love chastity. The beauty of chastity. For those who have to consecrate their lives, alright, they're going to show, God will show those people the beauty of consecrated chastity, and He's going to show those who are in families the beauty of consecrated, of chastity. Live in matrimony, holy, chaste matrimony. Love has to be chaste, my dear friends. Love and lust are very big, big different, day and night. St. Ignatius says, when love increases, lust will decrease. When love is perfect, love will be no more. That's what we have to strive for, all of us, my dear friends, is to be pure, pure of heart in whatever vocation the Lord chooses to lead us to. And my dear friends, just in case I don't get to say this in public, I want to say it now. You guys, you need to love your girlfriends, all right? Husbands as well, all right? You need to love your girlfriends. You've got to be protectors. Protectors of what? Of their purity. Protectors of what? Of their reputations. Protectors of what? Of their hearts. You want to keep them in peace. You want to keep them happy. And most of all, protectors of the life of God in their souls. This is your mission, men. You have to do this. And women, you can do the same thing. You also have to do the same thing for your boyfriends or your wives. Wait a minute. Your husbands. Sorry. Your husbands, okay? Women, boyfriends, and husbands, all right? No more, no less, all right? You've got to be protectors. You've got to watch out for one another. And we learn all of this in the presence of the Lord. In the presence of the Lord. He goes on to say, Pope John Paul II, "It is He who reads in your hearts your most generous choices, the choices that others try to stifle. It is Jesus who stirs in you the desire to do something great with your lives." See, God stirs it in your heart to do something great with your lives. Don't waste your life. Mother Angelica once said that one thing she regrets when she's going to have to stand before God in judgment, and it's to hear these words from the mouth of Jesus. "This is what you could have been if you were holier." Think about those words, my dear friend. This is what you could have been if you were holier, if you were more generous, if you did my will from the moment you knew it, that you knew I was asking you from it. The will to follow an ideal, the refusal to allow yourselves to be grounded down by mediocrity, the courage to commit yourselves humbly and patiently to improving yourself and society, making the world more human and more fraternal. My dear friends, this is what the Lord is putting before you, a challenge. Do you believe in Him? Do you believe in His love? He loves you, and He's giving you that commandment too, the last one. Love one another as I have loved you. God has spared nothing. God has denied you nothing. He has given everything to the point of shedding His blood on the cross, to reducing Himself to the size of a little host, to be in a tabernacle 24 hours a day so you can go and receive Him and become one with Him, so you can go and adore Him, so you can tell Him that you love Him, so you can go before Him and tell Him your problems, so He can comfort you, my dear friends. God is so good. God is so, so good, my dear friends. Don't let Satan tempt you. Don't let him induce you to deny or betray the Lord. Betray, as you know through this, through Judas, through Peter, through all the apostles who betrayed the Lord, what happened? They all messed up. They left the Lord because of fear. They were cowards, man. They're cowards. There's no fear in perfect love. When you love, you're ready to die for the one you love. When you're really in love with somebody, you're ready to die for the one you love. First, you're going to die to yourself because you're never going to want to do anything to hurt the person that you love. It brings with it a sweet humility, my dear friends. Love brings with it a sweet slavery. A sweet slavery. That's what we are, my dear friends. We're going to be slaves for all eternity. We're either going to be slaves to a tyrant, Satan, or we're going to be slaves to a God of love. Choose your pick. Take your pick. Where do you want to be a slave for the rest of your life? Me, I hope the Lord gives me the grace to persevere so I can be a slave of love to my dear Lord and to Our Lady for the rest of my life. And I wish the same for each and every one of you. Don't be afraid. Don't listen to the voice of the tempter when he tries to make all the sacrifices look so big, and he's going to frighten you with them. I remember once in Spain, we had like a spiritual exercises there, and there was this one woman. There was just a cross outside of the monastery, and she was sitting in a couple benches that are not too far from the cross. And it was a very sunny day. And she was sitting there looking at the ground, she was thinking about her own crosses, and she was getting scared of the cross, Lord, why are you giving me all these sufferings, I can't handle it. And next thing you know, she was looking at the shadow that the sun was, hitting the cross, and it was making this huge sad shadow on the floor. And she was staring at that cross. She goes, "Lord, why are your sufferings so hard? Why are they so hard I can't do of you? Why do you give us such suffering?" And next thing she felt like the Lord just made her look up at the regular cross that was up there, and it was only a tiny little cross. And that tiny little cross is the cross that God gives us. The devil, this is what she felt like the devil was trying to make that little cross that God was giving her, right, into one huge cross. That's what the devil does. He tries to like blow things up, make it look a lot worse than it is. We ought to thank God for all the blessings that he gives us. Even when he says no to us, my dear friends, it's an act of love on God's part. When God says no to us, it's because he has something better planned for us. So when we say, thank you, Jesus, for everything that you've given to us, I ask all of you for your prayers to keep the priests faithful. You know, we offer our masses for all of you. Hope you offer your prayers for us too, so that both of us can be, all of us can become holy, so we can sanctify one another in a good way, and we can all make it to heaven together, my dear friends. May we imitate the love of Jesus, love one another as Jesus loved us, and keep the other in mind. May you all have holy matrimonies, may you all have holy courtships. Please pray for us that we can be faithful to our priestly vows, to vow of poverty, chastity, and obedience. And we can truly give you Jesus all the time, whether it's preaching, whether it's giving Jesus in the Eucharist, or whether it's just by serving you the way we ought to serve. May we be able to have the grace to die to ourselves, so Christ can live in us and in you. Amen.